morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 3rd. The political season, it is upon us. Joining us this morning, a guy who doesn't have to run, Rex Bone. Good morning, sir.
I have a hard time walking.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's start the show off today with the why do we say it? What is the origin of the word lumber, Brian?
Lumber. Is it Nova Scotia?
No.
Okay.
Since the first pawnbrokers, because you don't know, since the first pawnbrokers came from Lombardy, Italy, their shops were called Lombard shops. Pawnbrokers generally have great many odds and ends lying about their shops, taking up space. And so any space-filling miscellany was called Lombard. In time, the word became lumber. Since the sawed timber, barrel staves, and ship masts left lying around in the dealer's yard take up a lot of the room in the yard was called a
lumber yard.
From this, the timber itself came to be called lumber.
Yes.
That's great, considering it's the backbone of Humboldt County.
Yeah. Yeah, still.
Still.
Still. It's all the stuff is kind of intriguing. I'm surprised the feedback we get on this kind of stuff. It's like everybody loves trivia.
The lumber one is completely amazing to me. And
yeah, so. Lombardi. So I guess we have to pay more attention to Father Lombardi.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I know he's still around down south. Oh boy, so Sonoma County is now considered rural, huh?
Rural.
How'd that one happen?
Good story. My involvement with RCRC. And I got involved with Linda Hopkins when she ran down there. I'd met her. She actually was representing my niece's district, and she's an organic farmer down there, and we just happened to meet at an event, and she said she was running for
an event
supervisor.
So much classier than the bar.
Yeah, yeah. And we got to talking, and she was talking about her district. 5% of her whole district is homeless. She has a lot of small towns that are unincorporated. She has people that are 2.5 hours from the nearest medical care. She has a very, very large district. And then James Gore on the other end, which would be the north end, is got a very large agricultural district. And so they don't have that, you know, they've got 480,000 people down there, but 350,000 of them are, you know, Santa Rosa proper and around there, Windsor and all that. So they have a lot of rural issues. And so they came to a couple meetings and they wanted to join. And we're finding out, and RCRC is really nimble and can do the rural issues. And we have lobbyists and we get the job done quickly for the rural people. So
So does that add a lot of punch to the muscle of RCRC, or does it change because are they the largest county now?
They are the largest county.
Okay, now all of a sudden the big dog is in, and are they going to be kind of steering the ship?
Nah, we've been RCRC has been very careful that the big county doesn't get all the pull in the small county. We'll go to work just as hard for the 1,100 people in Alpine County as we will for the and they've been very adamant about it. And Alpine is one of our most active members, so.
And these folks. Understand and recognize that.
No, they fully understand because they're just more worried about the rural issues. So it's a pretty good fit. They're pretty excited about Linda Hopkins is going to be our primary, and then James Gore is going to be the alternate, and I'm looking very excited for it. So we voted him in at the annual meeting here last week, 2 weeks ago now.
Was there anything like the judge's hearing?
No.
Good,
no.
Okay.
It was fairly unanimous.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's one of the thoughts that I've had rumbling in my head. You know, we've, in our area, certainly have had plenty of episodes of contentious discussion in public settings. Personals, okay, the uglies, okay, the over-the-tops. I mean, we've done that one here. Are you surprised we don't have it more often? Because
yeah.
We are so polarized here.
And we are, and I mean, I try to avoid it, but I think I'm probably sometimes more a lightning rod than I am one who avoids it. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, for my position, I went to Sacramento and worked with RCRC. We're real hard with Assemblyman Woods, and he reached across the aisle to Brian Dolly over in the Valley, and up Siskiyou's in that area, Reading in that area, and we got an extra $1 billion, you know, and that was a nonpartisan, but $1 billion into the forestry bill. I think SB 901, I think it was.
That's the road trimming one.
Well, it's vegetation. It's vegetation removal, but it's $200 million a year to address these things. So, I mean, these things work. I mean, it's I saw the headlines of one of the newspapers was Governor signs 28 wildfire bills. There's something to that effect, and that's kind of like it says farmer closes barn door after all horses get out. And so because we've been pushing a lot
as
of these
they left
things.
To go to market.
Yeah. So we've been trying to push for these things and we're starting to see some of that. So, you know, we still have a few more weeks of our season, but you know, thank God and our readiness and our people that are fire ready that have cleared back and done their due diligence. We haven't had the devastating fires at Mendocino Lake, Trinity, Humboldt, all our neighbors, both ends have suffered.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, the concept of RCRC and the discussions you guys have, and then you've got all the counties that are going battle, and then you've got the state electeds doing battle. When the three kind of get mixed together, how does that play out? Do you guys have enough juice to get any kind of recognition because you're a subset of CSAC?
CSAC's the big dog in the room. We're the little guys, and Virginia's going to be the head of it next year. And we've been at CSAC forever. We're fairly new to RCRC, so for me getting into the chairs was a big deal. CSAC does a great job. They kind of get bashed sometimes for being more large county centric because your fee schedule is set up like we were just talking about. Your fee schedule is set up. So obviously LA County with a quarter of the state has a lot of pull, but they're broken into three groups. It's urban, suburban, and urban. And it's so that, the big counties, mid-sized counties, and then the smaller counties. And they're smaller counties. I think there's 26 rural counties. We have 36 in RCRC. We have some pretty good lobbyists. We have found that it's a lot better if we work with CSAC on a lot of things. Especially on our issues, and we'll work with them on their larger issues as long as it's beneficial to the rural counties and it's not a theft of our rights, monies, minerals, So we stay. That's the biggest part of it.
Now, how does the Assembly and the State Senate interpret or perceive RCRC?
Are you very, guys... very, very, very well because they fully understand that. 80%, it's like forest fires, 91% of all the forest fires happened in rural counties.
Tough to burn down downtown LA.
Exactly.
Well, not that it hasn't been tried.
No, that's a true story. But 80% of all the national forest lands are in, 82% are all in rural counties. 71% of all water consumed in the state comes from rural counties. Rural counties have a lot. We give where do people go to recreate? They go to rural counties to recreate because that's where the lakes are. That's where a lot of the action is to do those things. So as we do those things, we're very fortunate that we get the respect we do. And then the great thing about RCRC is we've been able to hire what would be considered probably one of the smartest public attorneys in the state. We have some of the best lobbyists, and they're good. They're above, and they co-mingle real well with the people from CSAC. So
they play well, and they know what they're doing.
And they're very, very well respected because they're. I always use the term wicked smart because they are, and they work together. You know, a lot of assemblymen say, "Hey, you take them something." He says, "Well, write it up and see how it looks for us." Because I'm not going to have my staff write something up that you want. Show me what it's going to look like and what the benefits are. And we're able to present that. We have a staff, and we're very well financed. So it works out really well.
Are there different issues that RCRC has that are not recognized by either the other two entities? I mean, do you have to educate? Here's what's going on when we talk about water. Here's what it's like at ground zero, so that they understand perhaps what the farmers are dealing with, what the ranchers are dealing with, rather than what the experts or the state regulators are telling them.
I mean, it goes all the way back to, I can go you when we passed the law that they couldn't use dogs to hunt bears anymore. That was brought by a state senator or assemblyman that had never had a bear sighting in his county. So, I mean, it was, it's just, and then what we've got is we've got a pretty good proliferation of bears. I don't think it's not like they were shooting that many to begin with, but it's kind of like
theory versus practical.
Stopping the mountain lion hunting. I mean, they're a majestic, beautiful animal. Why would you kill a beautiful animal like that? Well, now they say we have 6 or 8 of them in the Elk River Valley alone, and there's been sightings at the Berta Bridge, and there's been animals missing, and they're a pretty prolific animal. I'm not advocating we go out and shoot a bunch of beautiful animals or anything like that, but I'm just saying consequences that people don't suffer. But comes back and creates a position for the smaller communities that are hard to bear the costs, and then sometimes just countywide issues. Saying, hey, you guys need to do this, this, and this, and these smaller counties, it's really really hard to provide those kind of services when you're talking. We have a lot of counties that have only 8, 9, 10, 12,000 people in them. And to provide the level of service that the state is putting on us, both in law enforcement. I mean, you take a look at the AB 109s and 4757s, LA County, San Francisco County, where they have the bigger probation. Maybe they can deal with it better than a thing. But when you have a county like Humboldt that's smaller and it's 4,400 square miles.
Well, how about Trinity?
Trinity.
Go down the funnel even deeper.
Well, it even gets worse. Trinity, 90% of their lands are federal or state lands. So they're having to fight for their PILT money, their payments in lieu of taxes for their property, and
we need code enforcement over that property.
So it becomes a catch-22 for the rural counties. So that's where we fight the battles, and it's the.
So just continually ringing the bell. Eventually, is it getting their attention? And for those guys, we need to have a different set of rules, or we have to make accommodations for, or perhaps. San Francisco and Marin County are a little different than Alpine and Modoc County.
Yeah, quite a bit, but their problems are just as real. It's just not just not as affecting as many people.
Yeah.
So you have to go in there and say, because it's sad to say a lot of our laws, rules, regulations, ordinances, everything else are vote driven. We can kick and scream like
we're gonna know that one in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. Even more on a state level. I mean, the shoes that Woods and McGuire are in on the Eel River water. I mean, that water's going to Sonoma and Marin.
But we need
the Eel River.
I was teeing you up for that one. Al, I'm glad that you brought it to our attention. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Redec, Murphy's Market, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Rex, before the break, you were alluding to the water issues. And I think that's, yeah, we have timber now, and we've got the marijuana stuff, and we got all these. The one thing that I still think is going to be the bankable down the road is water for us. Okay. You mentioned the Assembly District and the State Senate District that we're in. We've got the providers as well as the consumers of a lot of this stuff. But when you break it into our jurisdictions, I still think Humboldt gets screwed out of the Eel River monies. I know that there's contract and it goes back, and we've got these other economies predicated on it, But I would suspect that it's going to be a cold day in or a warm day in, depending on which one you like, before it really gets dealt with, because our state representatives, they really are having to straddle that fence. It's not feasible that it's going to come from them. It's going to have to come from elsewhere to figure out water rights issues. Yeah, and we can hide behind the salmon. Okay, we can hide behind the other endangered species or threatened species. But that's not really taking a hold of this thing. That's a Band-Aid.
I think the endangered species are going to drive the bus on this one. You know, the wherewithal and the salmon, you know, making sure that we have, you know, the availability and the water for the fish. I'm always amazed.
But are the runs even coming back anymore? There was that discussion about the South Fork of the Trinity.
Can't keep a damn salmon off your hook on the Klamath right now.
Yeah, well.
And they said they were going to have a low run, and they're having you can't keep a fish off your hook.
So right how do you model this thing? How do you put rules in place? How do you handle what is instead of just looking at, okay, we need water? That seems to be the one universal here for the fish. We need water.
It seems to me we get a lot of fish the 2 years after it rains. We get a lot of rain. So the watersheds are impacted, and we're doing the abatement notices on the marijuana. We're trying, that's the whole idea behind the legalization of marijuana, cannabis, or whatever we're calling it this week. That's the whole idea behind that, is the water diversions. I mean, somebody has to look at it. They always want to blame the cannabis, but sometimes somebody always has to look at every tree that's standing, you know, goes through about 40 to 60 gallons of water a day.
And I think it's the Furry River
We're looking at some of our state and federal forests that now have 400 to 500 trees, 600 trees on an acre, when they're set up to manage 250 to 350.
Is there any movement in that? I know there is now north of the state line instead of here.
And he's looking at it, and they're looking at it a little bit more because they realize we're having these catastrophic fires. Now, I read something yesterday that a bunch of scientists came out that said logging wouldn't help forest fires, you know, wouldn't curtail forest fires. And I'm always going, it'd sure help access to them, you know, to get in there and to fight them and things like that. Are we always going to have forest fires? We're not facing the things they're facing down south, where we don't have the dead and dying trees to the level they have. We don't have the bark beetle. We don't have the sugar pines. We don't have it.
Wouldn't it be neat if those things actually ate Monterey pines? I would love to find something. I might inject it into the area.
But that's an issue we have to look at. So,
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Rex in just a sec.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Bone. Now, you just love that cell phone thing, don't you?
I got my wind-up tool in the back.
I know. Well, you know, it's either that or Pinocchio, you know, and you have the little strings and you do it that way. Some of the different challenges that are out there, Rex, with the RC, with the different sizes, the different challenges, all that kind of stuff. One of the concerns early on was, okay, here goes one of our supervisors and the time that's being invested there. Same thing, you know, Virginia, I'm sure, is going to have it next year, you know, going off to CSEC. You know, all that time is taken away from local to help out regional. Okay. There's some legislation, certainly, that's beneficial for the home front. There's relationships that are for the home front. But when folks try to nail you on this stuff, what is the real benefit of having you involved so heavily with RCRC?
The networking, being able to be at the Capitol to push our own agenda, being recognized down there, staying on top of things. We're working some stuff with the USDA right now, rural policy group that we're able to take benefit of that I may not have known about or been fully aware or had the connection with the person that runs it now. Kim Band, who's a former supervisor from CLUSA, runs the USDA rural policy for California. She's a former chair of RCRC, and she's up until recently was a board member of RCRC and a good friend. And she's been helping some of the smaller counties because that's basically what her charge has been to do through the USDA. Little things like that. As far as time away, I usually leave on Tuesday night and I'm back on Wednesday night, and everybody laughs. You don't take 2 days. You don't take 3 days. I'm very rarely gone because I don't like being gone. I like being here. I'm pretty hands-on. And I always tell people, you know, I'm Saturdays and Sundays, I'm available at the office in the mornings usually, or, you know, I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I always tell people, you get your money's worth out of me, or I feel you do. I've never worked so hard in a job in my life and spent more time. So I don't worry about it. I don't get too much of that about always being gone because being gone for me is more work than being here. So,
well, you know, it might also be a relief.
Yeah, some people might
kind staff, of applaud. Yeah.
I know staff is certainly happy if I'm gone. So, but we get a lot of bang for our buck for RCRC for what it costs and stuff like that. You know, and it's just like being chair this year of RCRC. We just had our annual meeting in Napa, and it went over 2 day meeting, went really, really well. But one of the bonuses of it, or big things of it, is we have an annual auction. And when we first started, it was baskets, and I kind of upped the game a little bit because I don't know how to make baskets. And the auction has gone from making about $14,000 to I think this year's total is a little over $60,000. And the nice thing about the auction, it comes back to the county of the chair to go to nonprofits in his county.
So like Big Brothers, Big Sisters,
yeah, things like that. What I did, and it's kind of, this county amazes me. I just did an auction a couple weeks ago for Ribbon of Hope. It's a second year cancer thing we did up at the Elks, and it went over really, really well. They made $30,000, and so I really enjoy doing those kind of things. But what the charities, some of the charities I chose is I chose a FAN, which is the Families Advocating for Autism, which is probably one of the groups that I love. They're a fully volunteer group. I love the kids. And they do little things like they rent the movie theater out and leave the lights up so the kids can do that. This year, first year, Humboldt County Fair had a day for them for 5 hours where the bells, the whistles, the noise was shut off so they could go do the rides they want, but they didn't have all the lights.
The oversensory. Yeah.
The oversensory that bothers them, exactly. And I guess they've been doing it down south, and they do things like that. They do play. They do a lot of great things, and it's a bunch of moms and dads that got together.
Well, and this is a big splash for those folks.
Yeah, and so they're getting a chunk of that. Special Olympics, who I've been involved with for over 40 years, who my brother was involved with, and there's a myriad of others. So I'm pretty excited about that money. The next few weeks we'll be distributing those funds to these small nonprofits that most of them don't have executive directors, not all, but, you know, and they tend to provide a lot of services.
Money goes a little bit further.
It goes, you get a lot of bang for the buck, so I'm pretty excited about those.
Very cool. Thanks for coming by.
Always happy.
Okay, so you've got 2 months left, and then you're out as being RCRC guy?
Yeah, I actually come out about January 20th. Yeah.
No, oh, okay, so you got three more.
I'll be the past president, so good. It's perfect. Yeah. It's duck season.
That is the best season, the best title to have, right?
Yeah.
Past president.
Past president.
Yeah, thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet.
See you everybody tomorrow.